Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Coming to you live from Rick and Morty's Intro to Story Writing. Learn the basics of story circles, diegesis, and thematic continuity. You can find that and more here on Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. I sounded like
Wait, what was that?
I sounded like Casey Kasem for a second.
The Rick and Morty podcast. We're spinning the hits.
I did not vocally warm up for this. Hello, everybody. My name is Travis.
Hello, everybody. I am Brandon, and welcome to the podcast where we talk about most things Rick and Morty and some things not, but specifically Rick and Morty. That's mostly
Rick and Morty. That's what the podcast is about. This is Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. We're so happy to have you here. We're so happy to be back after a bit of a hiatus, a break. I mean, how long has it been? How long has it been, buddy?
This break was manageable. This one was manageable, right? Because it ended up in December, around December time frame.
Yeah. Because just in time for Christmas and the snake jazz episode. And then here we are at the beginning of May with five brand new episodes headed our way. And we have one that we've already watched. If this is showing up in your podcast feed, if it's I don't know, Tuesday, and you open up, you know, iTunes, and I'm putting a lot of pressure on Brandon to get this episode out quickly by saying it's Tuesday. But if it's Tuesday and you open this up and you're like, hey, there's a new Interdimensional RSS. That's weird. That's weird. What? There was a new episode? I had a Zoom meeting today, Brandon, because we're living in the COVID-19 lifestyle. Uh-huh. And one of my coworkers is like, wait, what do you mean there was a new episode? I was like, brother, you got to get on the train. Wow. You got to get on the hype train, the story hype train.
Nerd alert.
We are going to talk about that and much more tonight. But before we do, as always, we have a few things that we have to get out of the way. First and foremost, and that's how you can get in contact with us. If you are new to Unity, the community of awesome listeners of this podcast, we want to connect with you. We want to know that you're listening. So make sure you're following us on social media over on Twitter at twitter.com/rickandmortypod or on Facebook at facebook.com/rickandmortypodcast. You can also send us an email, rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your suggestions about the show, things that you love, things that you're interested in, any questions that you have. We like to go over those at the end of the show. We are over out on the interwebs over on Reddit, rickandmortypodcast.reddit.com, or you can find Brandon especially over at rickandmorty.reddit.com with all of those pinned posts for all those watch, what do you call them? Like live watch?
Yeah,
what do you call live
episode discussion, and then you got the post episode discussion. It's very straightforward, Travis. You can't miss it. They're pinned.
They're pinned. They're right there at the top of the page. And then, of course, you can find all of our episodes at rickandmortypod.com. If you want to be in the in crowd, you can join us Monday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern time over at youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm or over at twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. That's where we are live streaming the episodes. So maybe you're listening to this audio version. And you're like, man, I want to see them record live. I want to be part of the show. We'll make sure that you're following those channels so that you can do that.
I want to see what Brandon's drinking. Is he drinking Fanta? Orange Fanta? Or is he drinking wine? You know, you don't know. He could be drinking both.
Is it a Gatorade? Is he drinking is he drinking straight vodka out of a shaker bottle? You never know what it could be. But you can definitely support the show by going to apatheticenthusiasm.com/shop. That's the best link to take you to our TeePublic page, where you can find shirts with our faces on them, as well as a curated collection of Rick and Morty merchandise. Or support us directly at patreon.com/rickandmortypod. So thankful to the people that still support us on Patreon. Loving us, loving the show. And that is it. That's it. We're done. All listen, your duty, your obligation is to buy merchandise. That if we've learned anything,
yeah,
go buy merch. And so that's very important that we get that out of the way. But thank you guys so much for coming back. Brandon, how you feeling? How you feeling after last night?
I feel good. I watched the episode no less than four times. One time while I was making guacamole for tomorrow, for Cinco de Mayo, which, by the way, this episode, it's going to come out tonight. I'm going to release it tonight. So just don't talk to me too much after the show, Travis, as you're wont to do.
All the people that hang out for the post show realize Brandon is going to be very focused on getting the episode out.
That's right. But yeah, I'm stoked. I'm ready to talk about it. We got a lot to talk about, a lot to deconstruct, and
yeah,
I'm thrilled for it. So,
well, without any further ado, then perhaps we should get into semi pertinent news.
I don't know what to do. I'm trying to do like a fiddle, but it's, I don't know how to do a fiddle sound. Fiddle, semi-pertinent. Fiddle, semi-pertinent. Oot, 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 oot. Semi-pertinent news. Welcome to Semi-Pertinent News with Brandon and Travis. That wasn't my best. I apologize for people who just started listening to this podcast and you're saying, what the hell is that? Well, I just got into the habit very, very at the start of the show. Just, you know, longtime listeners, you know, this is, you expect this kind of stupidity from me. But for those just listening, if you just turned tuned in at the very start of this podcast, we're like, let's fill this in with music. Or in the meantime, we'll just have Brandon do something stupid. And Travis, for longest time, was like, "No, we need to get the songs." Brandon's
got to get real music. We should grab cool Rick and Morty pocket operators and and make sick beats for the show.
And we just didn't, because it's far quicker for me to just make an ass.
Yeah. It's fun. People love it. It has a loose improvisational feel.
Yeah.
Thank you know, we're knocking the rust off. We're getting back done. In the groove.
Back.
But lots of, well, there's some news to talk about, some semi-pertinent news. And we've been discussing this first one for a little while now. We've had a couple of episodes come out over the break. But the new show coming to Hulu exclusively starting May 8th, a little show called Solar Opposites, created by Justin Roiland, co-creator Rick and Morty, and Mike McMahon, who has been a longtime writer and producer on Rick and Morty, and they have joined forces to bring a brand new show. I don't, Brandon, have you seen any of the ads, any of the trailers for Solar Opposites that have been coming out a little bit more frequently as we roll up to the series premiere?
Yeah. I have seen the previews. It does look good. The animation looks great. I know Brian Newton had mentioned that he would have loved to have worked on the show. It does feel very Roilandish, and there's the scientist slash hang out with a buddy seems very, very, very Rick and Morty-ish. So it like maybe like a little too close for like that uncanny valley, but with cartoon characters. But I still look forward to watching it here in all however many episodes are being released at the same time.
Absolutely. So by our next episode, we could be talking about the whole show. You never know. We'll see. One thing I can guarantee you is there will not be a spinoff podcast of this podcast featuring Solar Opposites. We ain't got that kind of time.
I guarantee.
But we are excited about the show, and we'll definitely be catching that one. So that is coming out May 8th. Mark your calendars. It's very soon. It's this week.
Very soon.
It's very soon.
Speaking of very soon, after we record this, after we're done with that, we're going to be like, you know what? We're hungry. And to get food, what's the closest? The closest place to me is not a Wendy's. It's actually like a farmer's market, whatever. But Wendy's is pretty close.
What
too.
A hippie!
No, like not like a classy farmer's market. Like somebody who's growing like fruits and vegetables on their porch, and they're like,
it's the guy that's got like a bunch of bags of oranges in the back of his pickup truck on the side of the road.
I got some apricots.
It's a farmer's market. This is just your truck. Look, I got a sign. Sir, that's drawn on cardboard. This is not...
It's a camper shell, sir. anyways, yeah, the Wendy's breakfast ad over Rick and Morty. You may have seen this multiple times. Well, actually, maybe not multiple times, but last night during the live airing. Yeah, it's very similar to the Burger King commercial way back when.
I think you're thinking Carl's Jr.
Oh, Carl's Jr. Yeah. Yes. You know, Burger King would be caught dead.
The other burger place.
But very reminiscent of that. But in that commercial, they drag Morty out of bed. This was just another one of those obvious capitalism plugs.
It was, but I loved it. I loved how they personified the different breakfast options available now, fresh to order at Wendy's. Not a sponsor, but yeah, I don't know. I thought it was a funny commercial. I will admit that it aired right before the show started, and I definitely thought it was the start of the episode.
Yeah,
did it catch you off guard?
It did. Yeah, and I think we actually said to each other. One of us said like, "Oh, hey, the episode's starting! Woo!" And then it cut away, and then it had a picture of people in front of a satellite dish at the Space Force, and then an Adult Swim, you know, the black and with the white text, and then just the start of the episode. But we can get into that in a little bit.
Yeah. We watched the show together, you know, via our podcast means, you were a good like 5 seconds ahead of me on your feed. So you'd be like, oh, okay, show starting. And then you'd like mute yourself. And then I'd like wait there for my commercial to end. And then the show would start for me. all right. So yeah, Wendy's paid Rick and Morty lots of money. That's news.
There you go. Let's get into a good bit of semi-pertinent news. Our friend Scary Terry Folds over there on Instagram. He's on Twitter. He posted a series of images, and I don't know if he did these designs. So if he did, like that's bitching. It's bad.
I'm pretty sure one of those images is a picture of him side by side with like the creation of it.
Yeah,
something he made. So I gotta give him credit. Like I don't think he stole all these.
Yeah.
Like
I definitely
think he's been diligently working.
Designs in Animal Crossing are not stealing if you have the code for it. It's not stealing. I'm giving him credit because he was the first person I saw. Anyways, if you play Animal Crossing, you know that you can make designs for your clothing. And he made Rick and Morty designs. And I know Travis, you know, you made yourself a lab coat one time. And I was like, oh, whatever, Travis, I don't care about you. But Scary Terry Folds, he did this. He made a Scary Terry version of himself, a Rick, a doofus Rick.
He's got an evil Morty.
Yeah.
With the eye patch. He made a wallpaper design that is the Mortys being tortured on that dome from the first Evil Morty episode. What else? Got a ton of stuff. He's got the Hulk musical commemorative t-shirt.
Snowball on a hat.
Yep. Yeah, lots of great designs. I believe we already shared it on our Instagram.
We have.
Did I plug that? I don't think our Instagram is in our show notes. I'm going to blame you because you built the template for our show notes. But if you follow us over at Rick and Morty Podcast on Instagram, then you can see Scary Terry Folds. We reshared all of his designs. Go follow him. He's the biggest Rick and Morty fan. I mean, when it comes to following the rules of buying merchandise and spending money on Rick and Morty stuff, this guy takes the cake. And he's a good friend of the podcast as well. So go check out his stuff. And if you're playing Animal Crossing, you know, get those designs, man.
Get them.
And check those turnip prices. Let us know. We want to know if you have a large spike in those turnip prices. Hit us up, rickandmortypodcast@gmail.com.
Need to make them bells.
Gotta make them bells.
Speaking of making things, crafting stuff. I think that leads perfectly into our next segment. It's the Dan Harmon social media building stuff in his garage minute.
Bloop, blap, bloop, blap, 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 blap.
Was that Mario World music? Like Super Mario, but like they're in the water.
I don't know. I was trying to do an Animal Crossing music, but then I totally blanked on it. I should just sing it like Animal Crossing characters would. So it's like Dan Harmon social media minute. Okay. Anyway, guys, if you don't play Animal Crossing, you think we're completely out of our minds right now. Dan Harmon social media minute. This used to be his Twitter bit, but he doesn't do Twitter anymore, guys. So he's really only on Instagram. Follow him over at Dan Harmon. He will block you if you're mean, so be nice. But this last week, just a couple of posts. He is still held up in his Los Angeles home with his fiance Cody Heller. So hashtag Heller Harmon Bunker Day ? We get to see a little bit more woodworking from Dan the Man. And if you see it there on the stream,
looks like he's staining.
He's staining. He's using what I believe is a I don't know woodworking tools.
Sander.
Yeah, he's got a sander. He's got other stuff. But he made. Oh, yeah. And I'm backwards, but he made himself a legit crafting table, like an in real life crafting table from Minecraft. And it doesn't do it justice, but there is really intense music. And he thanks the stock music writer that he used for this. The title of this stock music is Your Son Died. and that's the big reveal at the end of that one. So that's the real solid Dan Harmon social media minute. Yeah, if you're into woodworking or into Dan Harmon, go follow him on Instagram, because that's pretty much the only place you can legally follow him these days.
Thank you for the legal following of
just trying to stay safe, guys.
True that. Yeah, and that tops off our semi-pertinent news.
If you guys come across a news some sort of semi, like, you guys, it doesn't have to be that pertinent. We have a very loose guideline here, but if you see a news story or something Rick and Morty related that you think we should feature on the show, make sure to send that to us, and it could be featured in this first segment, semi-pertinent news. But enough of that. We've spent way too much time, nearly 20 minutes into this episode.
Yeah.
We have new Rick and Morty to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the main thing.
Dunk 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 Dunka, main, dunka, 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 it's the main, dunka, 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 it's the main, dunka, 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 it's the main thing today.
Well, yeah, hey, we have Rick and Morty to talk about, guys. What do you think about this episode? Was it great? Did you love it? Were you confused for the first 5 minutes? Me too. Brandon,
let's do this. 5 minutes tops. Let's knock it out.
In and out, simple 5-minute adventure.
Yes. Let's talk about this. We're talking about season 4, episode 6, Never Ricking Morty. Episode details, it aired last night. That would be 3rd of May, the 5th month of 2020. Written by Jeff Loveness, who is writing the script for Ant-Man 3, by the way. Directed by Erica Hayes. Storyboarded by And credit to Erica because she posted this on her Twitter. And so I just want to make sure that I give the proper credit to these folks too. Storyboarded by basically the entire storyboard team: Felicia Fuentes, Samantha Gray, Pat Keegan, Jason Warneski, Sinead Young, Roy Camacho, Kihung Lim, and Ronald Rubio. So I just want to throw that out there to them.
So good on your pronunciation. I'm so proud of you.
guest starring Clancy Brown and Paul Giamatti, the two notable ones there. Do you know who Clancy Brown is, Travis?
Nope.
Mr. Krabs. That's the easiest.
Oh, okay.
Way to, yeah.
Okay.
he plays the initial guy who starts telling the Rick story about the man in the white coat.
Okay.
And Paul Giamatti is Story Lord.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yep.
Well, our bronopsis, the synopsis that you will find if you are searching for this episode, is choo choo, bruh. Catch this train, bruh. solid stuff. Very, very good. We should have put two and two together. You know, I tried actually looking ahead for synopsis spoilers on upcoming episodes. They're not out there yet. I didn't see them. Couldn't find them.
Sometimes they pop out there. I'm surprised that this choo-choo bruh wasn't out there, because like IGN, I forget the other place that had it, reviews of the episode ahead of time, like Tuesday, Wednesday of this last week. I didn't see any bronopsises in there.
Right.
But by the way, I did read the one of the reviews on Tuesday, and I knew generally kind of what this episode is about, like very, very vaguely, but I didn't remember enough of it to have that be a factor in my view of the episode.
So be a factor in your guesstimation about what the episode would be about.
Yeah. I purposely turned that part of my brain off so I could go into it with an open mind.
Well, the little synopsis for us that I threw together haphazardly is that Rick and Morty have to escape a literal plot device. It's a train. Listen, there's a lot happening here. I had a hard time baking this episode down into, you know, one or two sentences. Let's get into the discussion. This is an anthology episode. How are you feeling going in? Like, what were your initial perceptions of the opening of this episode?
Well, what threw, I think, a lot of people off, whether they're watching live or whether they watched on Hulu or whether they watched on an illegal streaming service somewhere, which, by the way, the Reddit mods were like, they had to keep deleting streaming sites over and over again online. You can just watch it on Facebook. Someone's showing on Facebook, I'm sure. But they didn't have an intro, right? There was no intro titles for the episode. And that was jarring. It felt a little jarring.
I'm trying to think of another time where the show has done that, where they've completely cut the opening sequence.
Yeah, I can't recall a time that they did that. So what strikes me about that, aside from the jarringness of it, is that had to have been an intentional decision. There'd be no reason for them not to cut it unless they were short on time. But we know that after watching the episode, they weren't short on time because there was still, it felt like there was extra time at the end of the.
Yeah. It felt like episode. It ended a little bit early. We were checking our watches and it was like, you know, 3 minutes to midnight and they were getting ready to show us scenes from next week. So yeah, it didn't feel, I don't know, maybe, that was due to ads and the amount of ads that got played or something like that, and it could have just been a programming thing, but I don't know. It was odd. I sincerely hope that they do not make a habit of that, because I happen to love the opening sequence of the show.
And
I love looking for little Easter eggs and things in there as well. So you know, we'll see if that continues or if that's a new change with the new episodes that we're getting.
Yeah. And what further reinforces that it was intentional was if you watch it on adultswim.com, it still doesn't have an actual intro. It still jumps right into the Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
And the episode itself.
Yeah. I think it could have been just maybe because the episode jumps around a lot and like initially starts off in an unconventional way for the show that maybe it was a purposeful decision to not open the way they normally would with the show. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out next week when we get into the next episode.
That's right.
As we have mentioned before, this is an anthology episode. It is sort of this season's Interdimensional Cable. We talk about it every season. We got the Interdimensional Cable episode. We got the sequel. Then we had Morty's Mind Blowers, yeah, which was a new spin on doing the anthology type. And this was even further in, I don't know. It took you by surprise. Like it took a minute for you to figure out, like they didn't just do like a booty shaking intro. Like, yeah, we're doing another anthology episode. It took almost until the first ad break before you really understood that this was going to be not a conventional Rick and Morty adventure.
Yeah. I thought first, you know, I love anthologies, anthology shows, anthology comics. I love very short standalone stories that have a beginning, middle, and end. Cool, bite size. I don't have to dedicate 40 hours of my life to catch up on 3 seasons of Ozark. You know, I don't need to do that because it's
that feels very specific. And I feel like whatever the Netflix situation is in your current COVID quarantine back there, I feel like maybe Ozark's involved, and I don't want to pick sides.
I watched two episodes of it. It's pretty good, but the 3 seasons is daunting of anything, right? So when going into it, I'm like, okay, no, it's going to be an anthology. It's going to be a Morty's Mind Blowers / Interdimensional Cable, some kind of episode. So I'm all in on it so far. But you, me, a majority of Reddit and a lot of other folks, that first 10 minutes. And I think when Rick and Morty are the other characters, and then Morty is now a chick, and then he takes off and deflates his boobs, right? And then it starts jumping around all over the place. Immediately, like, okay, all right, you know what, let me not think about this too hard right now, let's go with the flow and see where it takes us. But yeah, it was like, oh, you know what, don't even worry about it, let's just enjoy this for the first time around.
It is strange because there is, even though it is one of these clip show type episodes, they mention Interdimensional Cable twice. They call it out specifically in this episode, I think, as a way to reinforce that this is not a traditional episode. This is this season's version of Interdimensional Cable. But it has a narrative feel throughout it where you can make the argument all the way back to the first Interdimensional Cable, where like there was a B plot in Interdimensional Cable with the alternate dimension glasses, and that's where Morty is talking to Summer about, you know, not being a planned pregnancy. Yeah. And talks about himself being buried in the backyard and things like that. So that even that episode has a narrative throughout it, but it felt kind of hard to like figure out which pieces in this episode were conceptual and just like non-canon throwaways, and which parts were like, all right, am I supposed to be following this like story thread, or is this going to be thrown away in 30 seconds when it cuts to blips and chits or whatever?
Yeah. I like that you used the word canon, and we'll talk more about canon later on in the episode, I think.
Yeah.
But you use canon in the sense of what is self-contained and inside this episode, not necessarily the larger Rick and Morty. Mm-hmm. I think that's, there's a throwaway line by Rick later about non-diegetic, which is, I mean, that's kind of along those lines, is it's canon to this narrative, not necessarily canon to anything else. So anyways, I it's an interesting choice.
So with all of that said, this basically boils down to a lot of individual stories, a lot of individual clips, things like that. So I thought that the best way for us to sort of organize and wrap our heads around this episode was I just wrote them all out. In a big old story roundup, we can talk about these as much or as little as we want. But I thought I would just hit these one by one. Some of the stories that take place on the story train. And the first one, as you mentioned, was that acid vat guy who was on a train with everybody else going to kill Rick. And we get a cutaway to Rick in an epic solo fight against an acid vat guy. And he has a bunch of arms and stuff.
Yeah. And then takes a little pill, has a third butt, farts two ways.
Two farts.
I like that Clancy Brown is belittling this. Is people like, well, what are you? It's not dissolved yet. Well, you know, pull the thing back up. You know, what are you wasting time for?
We got a lot of attitude around here, like people that want to be dissolved in acid.
Yeah. The main thing with that scene is cool, like, you know, the action of Rick solo shooting is badass, but it's very vat of acidy when there's an episode titled this season, also written by Jeff, of the vat of acid episode. And so I rewatched the trailer that led up to the second half, and the vats of acid look, they don't look the same necessarily. But, you know, it makes me wonder, like, are you, I hope there's a tie there, or so it doesn't feel like you ran out of ideas so quickly that you also had a vat of acid guy unrelated to the other season.
Yeah. He's only got like four different types of villain, and one of the four always has a giant vat of acid. Yeah. It's just what he does. Yeah. It's part of his style.
Rick has he has a rotation. He has a pattern. Like Morty gets every 10th episode, 10th adventure. Every a fourth villain is there's a vat of acid. It's just a thing he does.
I thought it was a cool scene. Rick doesn't speak, he just communicates in farts. But otherwise, you know, it was a good primer to kind of get you thinking about cutaways. And then we get what was the tease for the episode. This was shared on social media before the episode airs. I entitled it Rick Saves Christmas. But this is the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles Christmas return with what's his name?
Goomby. Goomby. Every time I hear Goomby, I think of there's those really crappy animations of like Donald Duck and Goofy, but his name is Goomby.
Gooby.
Gooby. Oh, and Spider-Man. Gooby and Spider-Man.
I think it's great that they're all sitting around in a train discussing the different ways that Rick saved Christmas. I think that the Christmas episodes of Rick and Morty are some of the greats. So, I don't know. It's a nice nod to that as well. Then we start to understand the episode a little bit more. Tickets, please. The ticket taker rips his shirt off and exposes his gutters to Rick and Morty. And after the fight, he is his upper half anyway is smashed outside of the train, and he finds himself in a familiar place, Blips and Chits, where he basically takes off like a Roy helmet. And I gotta admit, up until this point, I was still like not exactly sure what was going on. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, was this really all just like a Roy simulation? Like, it was very jarring for me, like the first time watching it, to be like, oh, okay, so all of that happened was just a simulation. And but it was it was the conductor simulation. Wow. Okay. It wasn't even with Rick and Morty. And then he rips it in half in front of his grandkids who are fighting about arcade food and starts spinning about as his lower half is severed from his upper.
So good.
And Rick seals off the story train tickets, with a sweet tickets, one-liner please. About his
tickets. Honey, I need tickets. Give me all the tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. It's solid stuff.
Yeah. That little piece it led into basically the security training video, which that piece is, so the conductor tries, does that, gets sucked out, goes in half, and they seal it up. They find a continuity thing, and I've watched it multiple times, and I'm still trying to conceptualize the continuity, the emergency continuity. Coming down, I haven't
the continuity tank. Yeah. That he's holding on to.
Yeah,
yeah.
I haven't really fully grasped it yet, but I really want to sit there, and I'm sure somebody in the comments will help me out. But going into the security training video, that I think to me that was, well, I guess that's not the last kind of aside. Every other kind of clip after this, with the exception of Floaty Bloody Man couple and the Floaty No-Gasm Brotherhood, everything other than that, other than those clips, starts making sense, like in context to the rest of the episode.
Right.
The security training video was like the last bit that was like, well, and Floaty Bloody Man, where we're like, what the hell's going on? But once I was out of the way, I'm like, all right, here we go. I understand that it's really absurdist and we're just, what, anything's going.
Yeah, like them just showing up again completely unharmed and then pulling out Dan Harmon's story circle as the blueprints for the train track, and all of that, like, really sort of the meta discussion about them sort of breaking their own fourth wall and seeing Floaty Bloody Man outside and talking about how he's I forgot the one-liner that he uses there. That's where it really started. Like, okay, all right, this is not a traditional episode. This is an anthology, which takes us into our first act break. And then we get immediately after the commercials the Bird Person musical moment, which, great to see Bird Person back on the show in true form, singing with Rick and flying through the air, which then cuts to a scene on the train with all these like people discussing the best musical moments that Rick and Morty have had. And if you look really closely, like behind the guy on stage, there's like Get Swifty like picture, and I think there might be like a tiny Rick playing, like, so there's like all these little like pictures drawn on the background, like he's giving a presentation about the best musical moments. Oh,
that's great. I didn't notice. There's a lot of those little bits of things little in the background. Bits. That leads into the Floaty Bloody Man couple, where the dude's just smoking some kind of drug and exhaling through the snout on his head, him saying that he doesn't have sex and he diverts his sexual energy to keep the world whole. And she's like, oh, that's so attractive.
It's so attractive.
No, that's fine. Yeah, we'll just do it one time. ending the world as you know. And he's like, oh, sorry. And that brings us to the rest of the episode. So like the next one, when they come back from that, Rick,
they're on top of the train because they've just shot the conductor,
yes,
right, to end his suffering, which brings me to two of my favorite bits from this episode. Mm. Both of them from Morty's own mind. This is when they're trying to break the theme barrier for the show, and Rick insists that Morty tells a story. The first one that Morty comes up with starts with Mike Johnson and a good cup of coffee, and it's like very, it's very simply animated.
I'm hungry.
I'm so hungry. I want cookies. and then scorpions attack the house.
Why are they attacking? They're hungry. I'm hungry too.
It's just so good. It's very, very like Roiland-esque. I love Rick's line after that where he's like, no, like I didn't expect it to be good. I just didn't expect it to be so in line with the theme of our show.
Yeah. And at that point in time, they're trying to break the thematic seal of the cars. And Morty was just, it was too close to the theme of the episode, which then led Rick into one of my favorite bits is the Bechdel test. Just Morty, do the Bechdel test. And I really like this part, and we talked about it last night on the immediate post show, where it's, to me, it's just this perfect encapsulation of what a 14-year-old boy would put together for two women, named women, talking to each other about non-men and what would happen with that. Somebody asked Erica Hayes, they're like, hey, is it just me or are they making fun of the Bechdel test? And Erica wrote, we're mocking ourselves through Morty. And I don't know if she meant like we're mocking ourselves, aka women, or she's mocking themselves as writers, like the tired writers trying to build strong, female characters and going so far, to just simplify it to my special time, heavy flow.
Yeah. I think by us, I think she meant the show collectively, the people making Rick and Morty, and sometimes the ways that they've tried to give them agency, but have fallen pretty flat.
Yeah. And they immediately follow that with that they have they're two men with penises and they have agency.
Guess who has two penises and all the agency? Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
All right. So this gets us into a couple of collections of stories. I call these ones the quickies off the train. These are the glimpses that we get as Rick and Morty are fighting as a story lord, and being thrown out of the train and thus thrust into some different quick clips. The first one is I just called it Egg Escape Morty. This is something that showed up in the trailer for these five episodes.
Yeah.
That seemed like it could potentially be something really big, and then was really not much of anything.
Yeah.
I will say, and kudos to the animation team, the way that they transitioned with the action of, like in this one, Morty trying to slide under a door, and then that transition into him being pulled back into the train, the way that they did that between these scenes, amazingly done. Like, yeah. Fantastic stuff.
Yeah. Those transitions are worth the price of admission, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not not an animator by any stretch, or an artist by any stretch, but those, similar to the season 4 premiere, Rick Dyer, Rick Pete, just there's certain things in animation that just like, God, that's so good, and that's so talented. And those transitions, just like I tried pausing and slow mowing so I could see how they did that. And it's just incredible to me. Of those clips, definitely I love that they introduced Morty in Vietnam getting some kind of mind-bending drug, and then coming back to it, then Rick going someplace where he's created a drug and he's hurt so many people, and then Morty's character from Vietnam comes back, who is now not in Vietnam anymore, and kills him. It's like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Nothing's real. Nothing's
real. Bayonet stab. Remember the core truth that you're getting beat up on a train. Classic stuff. And then we move from that fist fight into Beyond the Fifth Wall. This is where the story lord has them captured, and we get a couple more quick scenes as he's tearing continuity straight out of the souls of Rick and Morty. The first one is a heartwarming scene where Summer goes off to college, and Rick is really really
really touched by it. It's I like this because this is sort of the idea that, oh, these characters are going to get older. They're gonna move on with their lives. Summer's not gonna be perpetually 16 forever. Morty's not gonna be a perpetual freshman or whatever. Like they're gonna age and grow up and change. And this is them kind of just being like, nah, I don't think we're gonna do that. I think this is the only chance you're gonna have at seeing Summer go off to college, because much like The Simpsons, they're gonna just kind of stay the same for the 70 episodes or whatever.
I think we'll get through all these beyond the fifth wall kind of clips here, but I want to talk about it kind of overarching, right? We broke it down here, like the story roundup. We have like the kind of not the ad lib or the tongue in cheek, the ones that are off kilter, the ones that are not really involved in the main story. Then you have Morty's stories. You have broke it down. Then we have beyond the fifth wall, and Blips and Chits was kind of beyond the fifth wall-ish a little bit, but when he kept saying beyond the fifth wall, we all know what the fourth wall is. It's him talking to the audience. But right. what is the fifth wall? And depending on where you look up, the fifth wall is that divide that is the actual artist and the actual audience, and them coming together to building things, which they've commented on before, and so all this stuff beyond the fifth wall. Summer go off to college. Adolf Linkler coming back with the one dude who's like, like getting punched into the alien vaginas. the epic battle between Phoenix Person, the Dog Planet, Tammy, all that, and then how the story ends. That's all like, hey, the fans all want this. And because right. the fans want this, we're breaking down the fifth wall, and the writers are basically taking direction now from the audience. And which is why Rick throws out the bit about like, is this canon? It could have been, right?
It could have been. Yeah. But, and it is really interesting because as fans, we tend to, we come up with theories, we see characters that we really love and we want to see more of them. So we come up with ideas like, oh, well, they could come to play out like this way. Oh, maybe Evil Morty's doing this. Maybe like there's a huge multi-series arc where Evil Morty is this mastermind pulling the strings from the background. And yeah, this was really just their way of being like, all right, all these things that you guys are trying to will into existence, here's what they'd look like. Now they're dead. Like can we move on? There's a line where Rick says, got all that metacanon shit out of the way, and now we can just be ourselves. I think it's a nice little just like put a bow on it. Let's move on from this and just do the show the way we want to do it.
Yeah. Like in the moment with Summer going off to college, Rick saying, I can't tell if you're serious. Well, it's a natural human emotion or whatever it was, or a human moment, and which is not a character of him.
But it's not Rick.
But that would be like he grew. Ooh, he showed character growth. He showed actual character growth in that. That's what fans really want. That's what fans want for them, and this is. Not necessarily like pushing back against those fans. I think that's the kind of that's one of the reads on it. Like, oh, like they're saying fuck you to the fans. I know there's a part of me that like, okay, like you guys are fucking with us, right? but I think this is like, we're giving you kind of what you want, but let us give you what you want. Quit. Don't try to pull that from us. Right. Because if you like the show where it started, you're going to like the show where we end up taking it.
Especially with Schraub's box of B plots. I mean, it can only go up from here, guys. It can only go up from here.
Yeah. And there's no B plot in this episode.
We have two epic elements to round out the episode. The fact that Rick and Morty are saved by Jesus and that all of the Christian friends come out at the end. And the fact that they really leaned into that as a way of showing that nobody wants to see that on television, apparently. Yeah, so that happened. And then the other religion that is most popular in the United States, consumerism. So we spent some time with Jesus, and then people obsessed with buying things. As we see Rick and Morty get saved and close the portal behind them, there is this awesome reveal for the train actually being a toy when they try to pull the lever on the console, and they can't hit any of the buttons, and they tear away that sticker. I just thought that was so wonderfully done as a way to be like, ah, this is yet another, you know, sort of layer inside. And then we see the story train running its course around the Smith's living room as Rick and Morty are getting ready to settle down and watch some interdimensional cable.
Yeah. And then Jesus is like, I'm gonna do what I always do, get the hell out of here. Get out of here.
Yep. And he breaks the train. Very interesting. And this came up a lot. I saw it on Reddit. I saw it in some of our post show comments on Twitch and YouTube. Morty talks about taking the train back after it breaks. And Rick's like, no, were you not listening at all? Go buy me another one. Nobody's buying anything with this virus going around. Very, very current and topical comment about, you know, COVID-19 and everybody being locked down. I would love, and, you know, maybe we'll jeopardize some of the followers we have on Twitter, but I would love to know where in the process that line was put in the show and how recent it was that they made that edit. Cause I feel like when the show was originally written, there's no way they could have known like where the country was going to be at this time. So I am curious to see how that made its way into the episode.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Like, I'm not an animator, so I'm just going to throw this out there. They probably had the body there, the scene there, right? And then they just had to shape the mouth to match whatever words were going in. Simple. So they didn't have to record. They didn't have to animate anything like too radically. But they can add a little bit at the end. I think they did that. They did that for another episode at the very tail end. Maybe Morty's mind blowers. Like, I don't know. It felt fairly current at the end of one of the episodes. It's like, huh, they did that pretty quick.
Yeah. I it didn't seem like a huge edit, but it was interesting that this show in particular does take a long time to produce. So for them to discuss something so current, like they're talking about like was it the season 3 finale where they were talking about like Minecraft and some other stuff? And I know some of that stuff felt really like recent. Yeah. Like Minecraft, it's been around for ages. Yeah. But
compared to Morty Gets a Dragon, which is like a year and a half after Game of Thrones ends.
Yeah. All right. And then finally, we have that post credit scene. It is the advertisement for the story train. Very well done. It kind of takes the entire episode and compresses it down into, you know, Rick and Morty playing with toys and their soulless action figures that they have. So that is pretty much the breakdown of everything we got to see in this episode.
Yeah. You talk about capitalism, and he's trying, like, I would say that all that capitalism stuff was there, obviously, without the virus. I think that virus line was tacked on at the tail, sure. You know, and that merchandise piece was juxtaposed against the rest of the episode, which is, hey, fans, like, you trust us, we'll get good stuff for you. Chuck, and then capitalism, merchandise, buy merchandise. Just, I love people buying merchandise. It's like, hey,
your job is to buy things. Just buy things for a show that like kills it with merchandise, but also has so much. There's, you can buy Rick and Morty just about anything, and we'll just pan right up here, right? As we look at the shelf. But yeah, like, merch is huge to this show, and there's so much merch that you can get for Rick and Morty. So I thought it was interesting that they kind of just right on the nose there with the consumer culture that surrounds the show as well.
Yeah, where we feel bad if we're like, go to our Patreon, yeah, support us, it's fine, you don't have to. They're like, hey, come on, buy things. there's kind of a just to see how far we can take this and see how much we can get away with, who else is going to jump on this Rick and Morty train with us kind of joke through line, I feel like, with Snickers and Wendy's and Pringles and Skull Candy earphones and lamps. I don't know. They probably make a comforter set, you know?
There's not enough regular fabric, though. I want just some bulk fabric, some Rick and Morty fabric. I'm just throwing it out there.
Rick and Morty.
Just out into the world.
With Joann.
Whatever comes back.
Joann's. Partnering with Rick and Morty.
Hook it up. Let's go. All right. It's time for some quick little bits. These are just little things that we noticed or saw throughout the episode. Weren't necessarily big storylines. But the first thing that stood out to me was in the first scene where they're in the bar car. There are a couple of beer taps on the bar, and one of them is in the shape of a Gromflamite, the original, Galactic Federation aliens. And I was like, oh, that's cool. We haven't seen that head shape in a minute. And then I looked at the name of the beer, and it was Killer IPA. Yeah. And as I looked at it closer, I realized that in the details, that's not just any Gromflamite. That's our old man K. Michael, Crumbopulous Michael, getting a little bit of a callback with his personalized beer tap over on the story train.
Yeah, right next to a Snakehead IPA. I'm gonna not doing these in order, but do you talk about beer taps? There's also a fart beer that's in the end when Rick is in his non-canon Professor Sanchez.
yeah, there's fart on tap. You never know when you might need it.
one of my favorite little bits, very very little bit, and we did have by the way, may the fourth be with you today.
Happy Star Wars Day, guys.
Not only did we see Tammy fight with Summer briefly, getting that Star Wars, we had little Mr. Poopy Butthole, but he was the Emperor, which was,
yeah, the Sith Lord Poopy Butthole. Yeah. right next to Evil Morty. That was pretty epic.
But let's add a third Star Wars-esque reference in there. And if you remember Star Wars Episode One, and I know everybody does because it's everybody's favorite. Well, it's like it's Empire, then Phantom Menace, and then Revenge of the Sith. Anyways, Yaddle, Yoda's female equivalent was, I don't know if it was Yaddle necessarily, but it was a female Yoda looking character in the background, whatever species Yoda and Yaddle are. It was one of those. I cracked up at that.
Which reminds me, that is one clip that I did not reference in our story breakdown, is the Ice Queen.
Yeah.
And Rick fighting or I guess playing with the giant direwolf. And all the elementals kind of hanging around the table. I am the representation of time. And that was a good one as well.
I did notice a couple comments here in Twitch, Twitch and YouTube. Look, if you want to follow along, you guys listening to the podcast, come join us every Monday night. Invited expert 6497, my buddy Omar, Emperor Poopy Teen is what he called that one.
that's a solid name for him for sure.
D Squeeze mentions this K Michael beer and is the IP, the killer IPA, and who's he trying to kill? He's trying to kill Fart, and then Fart is a beer as well. So there's that little mini continuity.
That's a good connection.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look at that.
All right. Yeah, I think that's most of the. I again want to reference the Story Circle. If you're not familiar with the Story Circle, this is a device that Dan Harmon has used for writing for forever, I guess, for a really long time.
And
he references it a lot. He's taught on the subject. But even in where Rick is pointing on the story, on like the train track, he's referencing specific elements in the Story Circle construct. And he's like, at this point, we're going to have to like redeem ourselves or something like this. I don't know. I just thought that how meta they got. And then he's like, well, of course we're going to take our own liberties. Like, we don't have to stick to this completely.
Yeah.
I love how that's probably just like a conversation that happens in the writer's room where like, they're like, all right, oh, we get it, Dan. Like, we get it. Yeah. Like, your circle's great, but like, we don't have to follow it exactly. Right. Like, we could diverge a little bit.
Yeah. I thought that was a neat little dig, but also, and then like while it's digging, you see a bloody floaty man in the background. It's fitting, right? So I think that's great. And they talk about the return threshold, and a couple. I have a picture of the circle up here. Get what they wanted, pay a heavy price. The steps 5 and step 6, but you know, I think that's all great. And they mention the non-diegetic, which is such a cool concept to me. Like when I was in cinema studies for like half a second, and if you're in cinema studies for half a second, you learn about diegetic and non-diegetic, usually around focusing on sound. Right, diegetic sound is sound that's within the context of a scene. Like if you are the character in the scene, you hear the music. It's coming from a radio, so it's diegetic. The music that an audience person hears who's watching the movie, that's non-diegetic. So those are really cool concepts. But then as far as narrative goes, diegetic versus non-diegetic, it's that stuff that this episode is just wow. It's a mind fuck, and trying trying to piece together, like when he makes that, you know, non-diegetic narrative comment, I'm like, oh God, I really want to break this down. But guess what? I had to make guacamole and I didn't get a chance to. So I really want to explore that again, just on my off time. And we may never talk about it again, but I just want you to know, I think that's a really great concept, to look into that. And the fifth wall, I think those are kind of tied to each other, especially within this episode. Whatever, nerd.
So overall on this, before we jump into any other listener suggestions and short outs, how would you rate the episode in general? I mean,
oh, we don't usually do that. Yeah,
we don't. Let's do it in terms of this being the fourth, you know, anthology, you know, loose improvisation.
Oh, okay.
It didn't have the improvisational feel, I think, as much. But how would you kind of stack it against the other, we'll call them interdimensional cable type episodes?
If we're going based off of how much I laughed, I think the anthology pieces of all the other ones are generally stronger. I think the Bechdel test is one of the best ones. Mm-hmm. The other little scenes, especially in the fifth wall portion, I think are really, really, really cool, and they're really interesting. And I would love to see those fleshed out, knowing that they may not. Sure. is kind of sad, but really that whole epic fight with Snowball and versus the cat mechs, and then that panning shot from at the Citadel of Rick's, or you know, Citadel of Morty, whatever, going scanning across, you see all the Rick's and you see the Meeseeks and you see all the Gazorp, and like that's really badass. Like I would love to catch that, but I think they'll be fine with whatever they end up choosing at the end of 70 episodes.
And they're going to do great things. I think that this episode shows that they're capable of creating epic conclusions and epic, you know, moments. It's just, let's let them do it.
Yeah.
Let's not try to create it for them in advance. let's enjoy their creative process and the fruits of their labor.
Yeah. So what do I rank it out of those episodes? I would for what I look for in those episodes, I would probably put it, I don't want to put it fourth, but I put it fourth because it's not that what I fell in love with those first three, I guess.
Yeah. I think the improvisational part of some of those episodes really, to me, makes those episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
When you can tell somebody was in a booth without a script, just like saying random stuff, or when they go really off like book and they're and it to the point where they're not even like really performing anymore, but they leave it in and still animate it. Those breaks to me are some of the highlights of those episodes. I didn't really feel like we got any of that. I feel like this was definitely an anthology, and it took a lot of really obscure ideas and jammed them all together. And I think it was really effective and a great episode. But I liked that the show keeps trying to reinvent this idea. But I would love to see a few more of those moments that were like purely improvisational. And maybe like Morty's story, like his first story with the coffee guy and stuff, like maybe that was just like, just make up a story. Maybe that's what that was. But I like this episode, but I would like to see a return to a little bit more loose comedy in a future iteration.
I agree. There's a lot of people think, I say a lot of people, like five people that I work with, they think, oh, hey, Brandon, he's totally spontaneous, or what is that?
Spontaneous.
Stupid. What an idiot. They clearly know I don't know how to say the right word. But anyways, they feel like I'm spontaneous. And what I've talked to them before is like, yeah, a lot of it is spontaneous, but it's spontaneous from stuff that I've like had just in me for a long time. And I just now I'm letting it out in some way, shape, or form. So it's like, it's not true spontaneity. There it is. It's not true spontaneity. It's the illusion of it. In Interdimensional Cable, the first two episodes, it was that kind of illusion of being spontaneous, because yes, Roiland was just kind of saying shit, and then that was off the cuff, but the animation is what made that the rest of it happen, and that's not spontaneous. People had to board that, and they had to animate that, and they and so Morty's mind blowers in this one, there is that it loses that because it becomes too scripted, and it's like, it's the difference, like our show notes. Like whenever I do show notes, I half-ass them. Like here's a couple bullets, and we kind of leave it to like, oh crap, what is, I don't know what else to talk about because Brandon didn't fill any details, and then like you want to have those details, and so then we have that structure to it, and us we have that kind of in between. Now that we meet in the middle for that type of stuff, and so we can keep this feeling like it's spontaneous, feeling like it's fun, it has energy to it.
My kid asked me before we came down here to record, because she's starting to listen to podcasts now, and she's like, "Do you guys like script your podcast, or do you like just kind of make it up as you do it?" And I'm like, "It's right in the middle. We've got an outline. We have topics that we wanna get to." She's like, oh, "Okay, so you're," and she listed one of the podcasts she listens to, and I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like that. it's time for us to close out the show with one of our favorite sections, listener suggestions and short outs. Thank you so much to everybody that's watching live right now, who is filling up the chat with tons of good feedback, including highlighted text, so that we know how to say spontaneous. I want to give credit to D Squeeze, who mentioned when we were talking about the Mike Johnson and Good Coffee clip, that Morty Jr. is actually in there. He's in a frame behind them up on the wall. I did notice that. That's a good catch. Good catch. It was good to see that little guy again. You have been all over the Reddits and the Twitters. Any highlights that that stand out to you, Brandon?
Oh man, yeah, you're jumping out at me with that. A lot of people noticed, and we talked about this last night, the storytrain.com is not a real place. Although that site has been registered
It's owned by Turner Broadcast.
Yeah, last year, back in March. There are some folks who are not super happy. Again, I mentioned this earlier. One person, Z-Man, said this episode is basically that the writers were acknowledging they've run out of ideas. But other people are like, no, it's the writer saying, fuck your expectations. We have other ideas.
Yes.
Some of that, it's kind of split in the middle. Some folks are taking it personal in a certain way. And I think it's easy to go that route, if you let it. But know that, like, everybody who's working on this show, they wouldn't have a show if they didn't have you, me, all the fans who love the show watching. They wouldn't have a job if we weren't supporting them. And so there's no disdain there. There's commentary that they're working on and still trying to entertain us. And I was entertained. They successful.
And there is that segment of the fandom who continues to, you know, always respond on any social post from Dan or Justin, like whatever they're doing, with a stop doing this, go make more Rick and Morty or things like that. Many of those people have been blocked by Dan at this point. but it still continues to be a thing where, especially in those long off seasons, fans love the show, but they don't always, find a healthy way to communicate that love to the creators that are producing the show for us. I don't know. It's good stuff, but, it's interesting. I don't think this was a slight at the fans, but more a commentary about those fifth wall expectations.
Yeah. And to close this up, the last thing I'll say about it, Dan Harmon has specifically talked about that. I don't know if he said fifth wall necessarily, but he talked about the fans that wall breaking down of the fans dictating what the story should be. Three Star Wars references in this episode alone. That's a big criticism of the sequel trilogy is it's not what the fans wanted. And Omar's in the chat and he'll disagree with me fervently, but you know, how Luke Skywalker ended his story, that's not what the fans wanted, and fans were not happy about that. And like, okay, when does the audience expectation stop and the artist's expectations allowed to flourish?
Yeah.
Anyway. Good point.
Anyway, well, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys so much for watching. If you are if you're watching live, we appreciate that. If you missed the live recording of this, but you still want to see the video version of it, you can catch it over on YouTube, youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. You can see this as well as all of our other podcasts and some D&D adventures and lots of other things. So head on over there. You can subscribe. Also, if you're an audio podcast listener and maybe you're new to the show, maybe you've just been assimilated into Unity, why not go over and leave a rating or leave a review over on iTunes, Apple Podcast. I guess I keep saying iTunes. It's been Apple Podcast for like 2 years. Jeez. What a scrub. I'm getting back into form, but you guys can leave a review. You can let us know what your favorite one-off story from this episode was in a rating over on Apple Podcasts or whatever podcatcher you happen to use. And then, yeah, come join the party. We are going to go and do our video only post show right now as we close out this episode. So you don't want to miss that. You can join us next week. Mm-mm. for that stuff. Brandon, final thoughts on this episode.
Final thoughts. One final shout out. I said I would say it again. Shout out to Erica Hayes, Jeff Loveness, all the artists and actors, all those folks. Because yeah. God, you know,
as soon as the bosses let you, please come talk to us. We want to talk to you guys.
Look, The sooner you come on the show is the sooner I stop liking your tweets. Okay. That is a Brandon promise. That is a Brandon guarantee. I'm being completely spontaneous right now.
Spontaneous.
That was intentional.
Final short out, and you get the short out on the actual podcast. Christopher 1993 has followed us on Twitch. Thank you, Christopher, for doing it.
That's right. And hey, everybody, next week, brand new episode. This next episode by Brian Jordan Newton, friend of the podcast, where we are talking about Primordius. So stay tuned. Come join us again next week. If you're watching the episode live on the East Coast, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, then we will be there directly after the episode. And if you miss that, well, hell, you can hang out with us the next night, Monday night, where we will record live. So join us, won't you? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah.
See you later.
Play us out, Sam.
There it is. There's the music.
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.